Dr. Albert Cantrell, university professor, conducts an experiment to demonstrate how quickly gossip and rumours spread. He calls 6 students to his office and, in strict confidence, tells them the Duke and Duchess of Windsor are planning to attend the university dance. Within a week, this completely fictitious story has reached nearly every student on campus. But the false rumour spreads far wider. Town officials and media outlets phone the university demanding to know why they haven't been included in the information and wanting more details about this royal visit. Dr. Cantrell observes this was a pleasant rumour. A slanderous one travels even faster. Friends, this may sound strange, even surprising, but I don't want you to stop gossiping. In fact, I want you to gossip even more. But I want you to gossip about the right things. Last week, we began our new series on Acts 13 to 15. Paul and Barnabas have been called by God, commissioned by their church, and sent out as missionaries by the Holy Spirit. Leaving Syrian Antioch over here on your right side, they sail to Cyprus, where they proclaim the word of the Lord. From Cyprus, they sail to Perga, they go up. Then they trek over the Taurus Mountains, heading inland 100 miles north to Pisidian Antioch. The map doesn't give the full picture. This is arduous, dangerous frontier ministry. It's the morning of the Sabbath. Paul and Barnabas enter the synagogue and take their seats. The service probably begins with the Shema, a familiar Jewish liturgy. The Lord your God, the Lord is one, you shall love the Lord your God. After prayers, readings from the Old Testament, and before the concluding blessing, an exposition of Holy Scripture is to be given. Paul, the well-known rabbi who trained under the great Gamaliel, is invited by the synagogue leaders, verse 15. Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. Paul stands up, drawing the crowd's attention with a gesture. Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. What follows in verses 17 to 41 is a profound sermon by Paul. He boldly proclaims the word of the Lord. Concisely and articulately, he retells the history of Israel in verses 17 to 25. He surveys the patriarchs, Israel's growth in Egypt and eventual exodus, the wanderings in the wilderness, entry into Canaan and inheriting the promised land, the time of the judges, the establishment of the monarchy, the greatness of King David, and finally the ministry of John the Baptist. Having recounted the history of Israel and the Jewish people, Paul massively comes to his climax in verses 26 to 37. I'm going to read them because we didn't have it in our Bible reading. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. The Old Testament scriptures, the history of Israel, the promise of a Messiah, it all finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord, Paul preaches. Jesus has died for the sin of the world. Jesus has risen as the Savior of the world. And now this good news must be proclaimed. Friends, this is the mission This is God's mission. This is Paul and Barnabas' mission. This is the church's mission, to make the word of the Lord fully known, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Charles Perry was the first Anglican bishop of Melbourne. In his inaugural sermon as bishop in 1848, Perry exhorts his listeners, "Pray for us and pray for yourselves and fellow countrymen in this colony, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. If we preach not Christ and Him crucified, it will avail nothing to the salvation of our hearers." This prayer has been answered. Since that time, Anglicans and Christians from all denominations have freely proclaimed the word of the Lord. Christ has been preached, souls have been saved, and churches have been planted. For 150 years, the word of the Lord has been proclaimed in our church. As an Anglican church with a rich tradition in the Book of Common Prayer, from the call to worship to the concluding blessing, Holy Scripture permeates our services and our liturgies. We read the Bible and teach the Bible. Our prayers and our songs are all based on the Bible. Now, by my count, I am the 26th vicar appointed to this parish. And all 26 of us, at our ordination, made promises, we made vows to study and teach these scriptures so that the people of this parish might hear the word of the Lord. Reading back over vicars' reports from the past, a consistent desire has emerged that the members of this church would read and study the Bible. Des Lowe, was anyone here when Des Lowe was minister? Norma, Jerry, Brenda, do you remember Des Lowe? This is what he writes in 1976. "If anyone is willing to gather three or four people in their home for Bible study, discussion and prayer, I will tear my weekly program in shreds to try and help them." Des Lowe. He's followed by Gordon Hargraves. More of you remember Gordon Hargraves, I imagine. Yes, David. He encourages our church to study the Bible in small groups. "We have a need to take time to think, read the Bible, and pray together as Christians in a reflective way." After Gordon, who knows, does anyone know the vicar that comes next? Peter Horman. Well done. Vicar from 1984 to 87, he echoes this sentiment. "I would encourage those who have not already done so to join one of the small groups or Bible studies meeting in this parish. It is good for fellowship, but it also enables you to grow in your understanding and confidence about your faith." After Peter Horman comes Robert Johnston, David Rathkin, Tim Anderson, myself. All men committed to proclaiming the word of the Lord, all men desiring that the members of this church would read, study, and know the scriptures. Friends, God's mission, our mission, is the proclamation and advancement of God's word. As a Christian church, as an Anglican church, we are committed to the Bible, so may we read it and study it and know it. Friends, if you're not in a Bible study, I encourage you to join one. Speak to Beres or to David Green, who runs some. If it's necessary, I'm happy to start a new one. Or you could sign up for Alpha the next time we run it. Next time you see Andy White, you could ask him about his Reframe Bible series that he runs. For 150 years, our church has proclaimed the word of the Lord in the Yarra Valley, and long may it continue. But as we know, as we see, when God's word is proclaimed, it isn't always received and believed. Having proclaimed the word of the Lord, Paul now presses his audience to respond with faith. Verse 38 and 39. "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Paul and Barnabas leave the synagogue. The congregation is dismissed, but many are begging for more. Friends, when was the last time you begged for more of God's word? It's a rhetorical question worth considering. Paul and Barnabas are invited to return the next Sabbath and teach further. But as we see, what follows is a very divided response. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying, and they heaped abuse on him. Many, perhaps most of the Jews reject the word of the Lord. Although they read and study the Old Testament scriptures every Sabbath, they fail to hear, to see. They fail to believe that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the scriptures that they read. We see that these Jews love their religion, but they don't love their Lord. They read, listen to, and study the scriptures, but they don't believe what it says. They follow their Jewish traditions, but they don't follow their Jewish Messiah. In fact, they reject him and they reject his messengers. Sadly, today, we see similar faithlessness from those who confess to be Christians. They have religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. They have their traditions, baptism, confirmation, communion, Anglican liturgy, and the great hymns of the past. They love and follow their traditions, but they don't love and follow Jesus. They believe and have faith in their own goodness, but they don't believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to cleanse them from sin. Like the Jews back in Acts, many Christians today think that religion and traditions will save them. And they forget about or ignore or deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, God's word is clear. If we reject our Savior, we in turn reject salvation. For we are unworthy to receive eternal life. Paul and Barnabas boldly answer the unbelieving Jews in verse 46. We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. Indeed, the Savior comes through the Jewish people. He is their Messiah, the promised descendant of King David. But indeed, he is the Savior and King of all people. This is why the word of the Lord must be proclaimed to the ends of the earth, because it is good news for everyone who believes. And where many Jews tragically reject the word of the Lord, many Gentiles believe the word of the Lord with saving faith. Verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Oh, how I desire for this to be the response of our church, that the word of the Lord makes us glad, that we believe it and honor it and beg for more. According to the former Bishop of London, who knew the late Prince Philip well, the prince was a man of faith, but he liked things kept succinct. The Duke required sermons to be no more than 4 minutes. Not the response I would hope for. On the 24th of April 1889, as reported in the Lilydale Express, this is 1889, this church building in which we meet is formally opened. Reverend Burke from the parish of Lilydale arrives in Hillsville by train and he addresses the congregation. Reverend Burke says that they ought to be very proud of this new church, to have such a beautiful Anglican church to worship in. He then urges the members of this church to attend services regularly but not to come for the purposes of hearing a grand sermon, but come to receive something spiritual for the good of their souls. Friends, every Sunday we gather. The Lord is here by His Holy Spirit. His word is proclaimed to us. Will we gladly listen to the word of the Lord? Will we receive it, feed on it, and believe it for the sake of our own souls? Will we honor God's word? Verse 50 and 51, because they reject the Lord and His word and because of their jealousy, the Jewish leaders incite the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stir up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expel them from their region. But friends, it's too late. The good news of Jesus has got out. Verse 49, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Those who hear Paul's sermon, those who believe the word of the Lord, they start to gossip. Hey, did you hear what the rabbi said at the synagogue last Sabbath? Hey, have you heard the good news about Jesus Christ? It's incredible. The Jewish Messiah has come and He rose from the dead. But better than that, now anyone can be saved, even us Gentiles, if we just believe in Jesus Christ. Did you hear? As church historian Wayne Meeks puts it, the believers, the disciples, gossip the gospel. They're so excited about Jesus, so overjoyed by the good news that it flows out of them. They share it with their friends, neighbors, colleagues, and before long, like any good piece of gossip or rumor, the word of the Lord has spread to the whole region. What Paul proclaims in the synagogue that Sabbath morning echoes out, reverberating into the streets and shops and cafes and homes. Friends, can the word of the Lord spread throughout the Yarra Valley? Will the gospel that is proclaimed in the Yarra Valley churches reverberate and echo out into our community as well? Can we, the disciples of the Yarra Valley, gossip the good news? Some of you have probably seen the movie Doubt, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman and Meryl Streep. It's a masterful film set in the Roman Catholic Church. In one stirring scene, Seymour Hoffman, the parish priest, gives a powerful sermon about gossip. He concludes with a story. A woman gossips with a friend about a man she hardly knows, but then she's seized with an overwhelming sense of guilt. The next day, at confession, she tells Father O'Rourke the whole thing. Is gossiping a sin, Father? Tell me, have I done something wrong? Yes, Father O'Rourke answers. You have borne false witness against your neighbour and you should be heartily ashamed. The woman says she's sorry and seeks absolution. Not so fast, says O'Rourke. I want you to go home, take a pillow up on your roof, cut it open with a knife and return here to me. The woman goes home, takes a pillow off her bed, a knife from the drawer, and goes up the fire escape to the roof and stabs the pillow. Then she returns to the old parish priest as instructed.
Did you cut the pillow with a knife? He says. Yes, Father. And what was the result? Feathers, she said. Feathers, he repeated. Feathers, everywhere, Father. Now, I want you to go back and gather up every last feather that flew out on the wind. Well, she said, it can't be done. I don't know where they went. The wind took them all over. And that, said Father O'Rourke, is gossip.
That is gossip. And the better the gossip, the further it spreads. The juicier the gossip, the faster it spreads. According to one study, people gossip 52 minutes a day. 14% of our conversations are gossip. Friends, I'm not asking you to stop gossiping, but I'm asking you to gossip about good things. To gossip about Jesus, about faith in Him. To gossip about being a Christian and about church. To gossip about the forgiveness of sin, salvation and eternal life. You don't have to stand up in public and give a grand homily like the Apostle Paul. I tried to fill those shoes by God's grace. No, your role is to be like the disciples who hear Paul's sermon and then take this good news back home to those in your life, to share it, to gossip about it as opportunity arises. If we all do this, the word of the Lord will surely spread. Isaiah 53:7, we read, He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Jesus is on trial. He doesn't open His mouth. He doesn't defend Himself. He doesn't respond to the false accusations, the slander, the negative gossip about Him. He remains silent, and so He is executed on a cross. For us. For our salvation, for our sin. Friends, for our sake, for our salvation, Jesus remained silent. And now for His sake, we don't remain silent. We speak up and we gossip the good news. Even when people gossip negatively about Jesus and slander Him and laugh at Him and mock Him. We gossip positively about Jesus and how He has changed our life and how He can change their life as well. So that the word of the Lord may spread, so that many may hear the gospel and be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the good news of Jesus Christ did not remain in Jerusalem, but has reverberated and echoed out all over the world and even to us here in the Yarra Valley. We thank You that we have received Your good news from Jesus Christ. Now help us to believe it, to put our faith in Him, but also to share it with others. To gossip about Jesus Christ in such a positive way that more and more people might hear and believe. In Jesus' name, Amen.